You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. It was tough to decide what to do for a podcast this week. The WNBA finals are almost, but not totally, finished. USA Basketball finished their first mini camp, but then they took off in different directions. NCAA Basketball is around the corner, but not everyone has even started camp yet. So it seemed to me a good choice for the week would be to salute the Minnesota Lynx a little bit prematurely. Game 3 is tonight in Atlanta, but the team certainly has controlled games 1 and 2 and won them in style. For this week's podcast, we're going to turn back the clock a little bit to earlier this WNBA season when in two separate podcasts, I spoke to Lynx stars Simone Augustus and Maya Moore. Congratulations to the two of them on a remarkable season and a great performance in the WNBA playoffs. Enjoy and congratulations one more time to the Minnesota Lynx.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's edition of Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops. On Hoop Feed, each week our podcast talks about women's basketball, and the WNBA season is fully underway. All-star voting has started, and one of those people that I'm sure we'll be seeing in Connecticut at the All-Star game is the star guard for the Minnesota Lynx. Simone Augustus joins us now. Simone, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Simone, it's been a great start of the season for the Lynx and a great start for you personally. First, though, let's get this little bump in the road out of the way. What happened Saturday night in Los Angeles? I mean, that was quite an aberration for this Lynx team.
Yeah, that's a tough loss for us. Being the way that we lost, we felt like we came out the gates with not a lot of energy. We didn't really match their enthusiasm or their energy when we came on the court. And, you know, you can't do that against a great team with such talented players, experienced players, and, you know, just kind of, you know, it shows what happens from one day to the next. You know, we had a great night against Phoenix, and then we came back and were flat in the game against L.A.
Well, you know, the one plus that comes out of it is at least you only played about 15 minutes, got a little bit of time off at least. You got to look at it in some positives, right?
Yeah, you got to find some positives, and we were able to, you know, rest our bodies and actually get to see some of the bench players come in. They played great minutes that second half of the game, and I mean, if you break it down into half, they only lost by 1 point if you go by, you know, the scoring of each half or whatever. So that was great to see.
Well, let's talk for a second about that. Now, it's unusual for a team that makes the finals, you know, first, you know, the champion in 2011, then 12 to the finals. But you got four new players on this team this year, and it's interesting to see the energy that they bring in and just a little bit of different type of dynamics, you know, with Jerry and Rogers, Moore, and, of course, Janelle in there now.
Yeah, I mean, Janelle, I think everybody kind of knows her from her past experiences in the WNBA, but, you know, being on a team with her, you get to experience a little bit more like her passing abilities, the knowledge that she has for the game. Her IQ is really high. When it comes to knowing what she needs to do and how she needs to do it. As far as the young players and Sugar and Elmo and Rachel, you know, they're just coming in with a lot of energy and just want to kind of make an impact. If you watch Rachel, she's probably one of our best hustle players after getting after the ball, getting deflections on the defensive end and just bringing a lot of energy. And the same with Sugar. That's kind of like my little project. You know, Sugar, you know, plays my position, so I'm kind of trying to help her learn the ropes as far as being a scorer in this league as well as, you know, stepping up on the defensive side as well.
How nice is it to be able to have Janelle set the picks on your team instead of having to run into them?
Oh, awesome. She set a mean pick the other night against Tulsa, and I was in awe at how she kind of rattled. I think it was against Candace Wiggins. She kind of rocked Candace on one of those screens, and I'm like, wow, I'm glad it's not me. But just the way, you know, she's, you know, gives her body to make sure a teammate gets open, and the way that she, approaches the game every night is what we need at on the squad.
Now, then, of course, there's Maya and Lindsay who are doing a great job also putting up both points and assists. But, you know, focusing on you for a second here, you know, I was looking and noticing, you know, the thing that impressed me the most probably is we know you can score. You know, you're 10th in the league at 16.8, you know, over 18 if we take out that L.A. game. But your 8th in field goal percentage this year, you're hitting over 56% of your shots, which is unreal for a shooting guard with your range.
Like I said, I take my hats off to my teammates because they put me in great positions. Waylon put me, you know, in positions to score the ball. My post players do a great job with screening. And then, you know, it's a lot of plays where, you know, I could be a decoy for Maya as far as we know the ball's going to Maya, but I have to cut hard, screen hard, and it's the same way with her. She does a great job of, you know, cutting hard and, you know, making the defense go her way and giving me an opportunity. But then I guess it comes into focus, like, when I do get the opportunity to shoot, I don't get many open shots, so I have to knock down the ones that I do have open, and then, you know, to contest the shot, the tough shot that we make, you know, that's a part of being a professional. You know, you just have to, you know, step up and knock down shots.
Now, it's hard to believe that you're one of the veterans on this team now. You know, you've been around longer than anybody else.
I know, I feel kind of old, you know, when people come in and they're talking on how I see the young guns like Elmo and Suge and Rachel, and they're talking about, you know, some of the old players, or they're talking about me, you know, I remember when you played this year, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wow, I feel so old right now, but it's great that I'm able to be around, you know, for as long as I have, and hopefully it continues throughout. Maybe I have a career like Taj or, you know, Tina Thompson or Katie Smith, where it's a lot of longevity and, you know, great basketball to be played.
Hey, as long as you got Brunson on that team, though, and the way that she has to wrap herself up after a game, you know, you're never going to be the mummy.
Yeah, I think I'm fine.
You know, actually, your health is one of the things that has been always a story in the fact that, you know, you've had some tough times, but you've always seemed to persevere and come through them. How exciting was it, and how gratifying was it for you to be able to make it back to, you know, the form to be Finals MVP, and then probably more important to you, I would guess, making the 2012 Olympic team again after having to sit out the World Championships?
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, I was teary-eyed when I got the, you know, phone call about making the Olympic team from, you know, Coach Orion and Renee Brown called. Because I went there. I remember going to Connecticut and traveling to Spain and the other little areas that we had to go to prepare for the World Championships. And I remember sitting, you know, in a room with Coach Orion and Carol Cowan when they cut me from the team. And, you know, they just basically said, keep fighting, get healthy and things like that. And, you know, it doubts and, you know, tends to sit in like, oh, I put on a little weight. My knee doesn't feel as right. My body doesn't feel good. But it was a matter of just kind of buckling down and doing what I need to do to be able to get back on the court and be healthy and be strong mentally more than physically, because that's the thing that kind of wears you down, the mental aspect of it, especially, you know, being cut and not really knowing if you're going to bounce back or not.
Yeah, well, you certainly did bounce back, and it's great to have you back as part of that team and part of USA Basketball. Now, bouncing back is what this team is doing this year, too. It was a tough finals after a grinding earlier round series as well. You know, you come back this year and the team gets off to a great start, you know, two losses, LA and Washington, both on the road. You know, how difficult was it to put last year behind you and get going onto this season?
I mean, it wasn't difficult at all. I think we all kind of like let it marinate, you know, probably until Christmas. And then once the new year hit, it was focusing on what we need to do this year. There's nothing that we can do about, you know, 2012. We all wish it, you know, ended better. But we use that as motivation, fuel to come into this year. And that, you know, the loss against Washington kind of simulated, you know, the type of game that we played, you know, last year in the finals. So we definitely wanted to see how we was going to bounce back, you know, after that loss. And then the loss against LA basically, you know, helped us as far as learning how we got to be consistent every time we go out. Like, we can't have up and down games and games where we feel like we can turn the switch on and off, because one night that switch not going to come on, which it didn't in LA, and, you know, we ended up getting thumped by 30. So I just like the attitude that we have and how we come back after, you know, losses.
Got to be great knowing that you got LA back-to-back now to get a chance to get some retribution too.
Yeah, and we look at it as a playoff scenario. They come here, we play them, and then we got to get on the road and go and try to get a win on their court. So that's a perfect playoff scenario, kind of like last year when they played here. We had to go out and try to pull out the Western Conference Championship on their floor. So we're definitely looking forward to it.
Now, this has been a crazy schedule, especially for your team. You know, with you starting after everybody else had already played a few games, then you get these breaks, and you know, you're playing L.A., you know, now, and then you don't play them again until September, and you're done with Phoenix by the end of July. I mean, is it difficult to just go through the practice grind and not get on the court as often as you'd like to for these games, or is it better for the body? You know, is that a fair trade-off?
A little bit of both. I guess it's a good trade-off when you think about the body needing rest. Like, you know, some people play back-to-back every other day and things like that. So the practice do kind of come in handy because we can taper it down and just kind of focus on whatever certain things that we need to focus on. And then the players can get the rest and rehab that they need. But then we also get real antsy when we see other people playing, you know, on live access or on TV. And it's like, well, we're ready to play too. So it's kind of bittersweet for us. But I would prefer to, you know, keep fine-tuning some things and let players get the proper rehab and rest that they need, because we play year-round. So nobody's like 100% healthy. So if you get a chance to kind of let your bodies heal a little bit, it's better than not letting heal at all.
Well, injuries have certainly been a big part of the WNBA story, as, you know, this afternoon we're trying to watch Indiana play on live access is tough to watch without Catchings playing again too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With the quality of basketball kind of goes down as players start to get hurt, and you know, it kind of tinkers with your practice schedule too, because then you aren't able to have full practices and things like that. So it kind of sucks, because everybody knows Indiana's a great team, and they've been missing players all season, you know, through the injuries. So hopefully,
you know,
they can bounce back.
Has the team taken it a little bit personally that everybody seem to forget about you guys a lot in the discussions with Phoenix and everything at the preseason, or do you guys just kind of chuckle and say, we know who's going to be there in the end?
Yeah, we just kind of chuckle and just laugh. We know we'll be right there in the discussion later on in the season when it matters most. We kind of look at ourselves like the San Antonio Spurs. Nobody really talked about San Antonio the entire season until, you know, the end when they started to, you know, really so improved, but they have been putting in work all year long, but nobody really paid attention. So we're you know, not under the, you know, the media fringes out in Phoenix and L.A. and wherever else, and we just here, we're working, and we're just going to continue to get better, you know, without having to be under the little microscope that everybody else has.
And well, when we did our preseason podcast, Michelle Vopel and I picked the links to go all the way, just so you know.
Oh, well, thank you.
One last question I wanted to ask you. Changing the subject a little bit away from basketball. You know, you've been very outspoken and talked about the passage of the gay marriage allowance in Minnesota. And, you know, all of this attention that's come with Griner and her comments and such, you know, you had been discussing this for quite a bit of time before Brittany Griner came out and all, you know, and all the news media picked up on her. Do you just sit there and kind of shake your head a little bit and just say, you know, what's the big deal about all of this, and why is she getting all this press, or, you know, or does it just not faze you at all at this point?
For me, it doesn't faze me. I mean, the people that matters the most are the people, you know, that I've touched, and it's here in Minnesota where I've had the biggest impact with the same-sex marriage law, with the vote no first, and now if you push forward, you know, people are going to be able to get married in August, you know, officially here. So what everybody else thinks or who they, you know, focusing on as far as Brittany and all that, I mean, it's great. We all know that everybody's going to focus on Brittany because she's done so much, you know, in the game. But for me, it's who I, you know, the people right here that's been supporting me and been there for me. It's, you know, people back home in Louisiana and the people here. Everybody else, if you follow along, so be it. But if not, life is still going to go on.
Simone, let me tell you, you've been a great ambassador for the game and for everything that it represents. And, you know, as a parent and as someone that enjoys women's basketball as well, I thank you and congratulate you on your success. And I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of the season goes for the Lynx.
Thank you. Me too.
You take care now.
This is Maya Moore, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. Last week, we talked
to Swin Cash and talked about the Eastern Conference and the Chicago Sky. This week we're talking about the team that is leading the Western Conference, the Minnesota Lynx, and how difficult that conference is with their young star, one of my favorite players to watch in the WNBA, as she was at Connecticut, Maya Moore. Maya, how are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
So Maya, first things first, what was your first impression when Cheryl Reeve came walking out looking like Miley Cyrus the other night?
The first thing, I think my mouth dropped. I was in utter shock. And then I think I screamed in surprise. And I just was in awe of what I was seeing. I was really confused. I didn't know who I was looking at, but she is always, I was ready though. She's always up to something every year when we do the catwalk. So it was insane. I think that image is permanently seared in my mind.
and I heard she gave a half twerk as part of the show too. I mean, that's been known to make people go blind.
I think I would have probably passed out. It was in between a quarter twerk and a half twerk, but it was both were just too much. So I'm just glad that she saved, all of us from having to probably go to counseling because of that. It just would have been ugly.
It certainly didn't affect your vision because you came out a night or two later, and this was, you had one of those nights that's a video game night. Yeah, how does it feel when you're just in a zone in that, that first half? I mean, putting 25 up, it was just a phenomenal performance.
Yeah, getting off to a good start obviously helped, and we had a lot of good offense in the first quarter. Defense wasn't as good, but we picked up our defense for the remaining three quarters, and whenever we do that, it helps our offense even more. So. The ball was feeling good for me. My teammate did a great job of screening for me and finding me and just getting out in transition and just being aggressive. It was definitely fun, being at home and doing that with the crowd and getting them involved. And definitely a great night for us, especially how we finished the game.
Well, I going all the way back, I know that you're not a person that talks about their individual stats or what they're doing, that you're all about the wins. But, I was doing some homework for this, and I'm looking. I mean, you're up over 2 points a game. The field goal percentage is up from 46% to 50%. You're hitting 45% from three this year. Your rebounding's up. So how come the assists are down? What's up with that?
In the last few games, they might have been down. I just want to make sure that I'm always involved in helping my team. So if that means I'm finishing more, then I'll finish more. If that means I need to set screens more, I'll set more screens. Or if I'm giving the assist, getting the assist. But, the last few games, the opponents that we've played, we've had a game plan of trying to get the guards, posting up and getting points inside. So Simone and I have been the beneficiary of getting some inside action and being some finishers. But I'm not worried about it. We've got plenty of people on this team to give assists.
Well, I'll tell you, one thing that is crystal clear, the team is playing, when this team is on, it's playing some absolutely incredible ball. You're on a four-game winning streak now as the season starts to wind up. But, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that, L.A. is also 13-2 at home and having quite the season as well. And, talk for a second about the rivalry that is developing between these two teams.
Yeah, early on. Unfortunately, it's been a long time since we played each other, but, we had a little – three-game series early on, they got the best of us with two wins at home, and we got one win at home. All games were blowouts, so I'm anxious to get, another game going with them and preparing us for the playoffs.
And now on the other side of the coin, now looking at the Eastern Conference for a second, Chicago has really had a fantastic year themselves. They've added some additional players and gotten some more out of Sylvia Fowles. The Western Conference, though, you look at their record and you look at where the East is, is it just the case, is the West supreme, or is Chicago going to give whoever makes it out of the West, should Chicago make it to the finals, are they going to be as tough as they look?
I think so. Chicago's been very good this season. And, it's there's no secrets to why they're good. They are who they are. And then they've been bringing it, you know, every night. They've got a great front line. And, you know, when their guards are, you know, aggressive and contributing, it's tough. You know, I think the biggest improvement for them this year has just been defensively. They've really stepped it up defensively and make it hard for teams to score. So it's a tough matchup. We have a big battle with them out there at their place and a heartbreaking loss for us. But we definitely don't underestimate Chicago's ability, and they're definitely the team to beat in the East.
Well, it's going to be interesting. That last game of the season, home against Chicago, you know, will it be a preview or will it be a situation where everything is decided and you guys, both teams rest a little bit? It'll be fun to see from a fan's perspective. One thing, you know, I definitely want to touch base on real quick, though, is $6,750 is what a Pink Maya Moore jersey went for breast health awareness. Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm just glad I was able to have my new career high on that night that we were selling our jerseys. I think that helped a little bit.
Yeah, I think somebody take it for the DNA that was on it there. You know, create another little Maya.
Well, I heard that they actually washed the jersey, so.
Oh no!
I hope that wasn't part of the money that they paid, because that's in the wash somewhere. But I will sign it. I will sign it and give it to them.
Well, that's good. That's good. You know, congratulations to all of the Lynx for, you know, if it's one team that gets out and you have fans that are great in supporting your team, and you guys are great in giving back. You know, the team does a phenomenal job.
Thank you. We work hard at making sure that we don't lose perspective about, you know, our bigger purpose of being pro athletes. I think we definitely work so hard on the court, and we do it just as much off the court. So I'm blessed to be a part of this team, this organization.
So final question. Now we've seen Diana and Swin, and now Diana has challenged Swin. Is Maya the next UConn player for the ESPN body issue?
No. No, don't look for me there. You can look for me in other places, but no plans for that.
Okay, and you know, by the way, Allison Hightower told me next time you guys come into Connecticut, no game. You and she meet at center court, dance off for the W.
See, what I do is I have one move. You know, it's just the move that I practice all the time, and I make sure that the dance competition is real short. I just do my one move, and then we just leave. So I can't challenge Allison to like an actual dance competition, because she would really probably kill me. So I just had to do my 15 minutes of fame, and then just scoot. So sorry, Allison. I don't think I'm gonna take you up on that rematch.
Well, I think we'll settle for watching you drain that silky smooth jumper instead.
All right, good.
Maya, thank you again for taking some time today. Good luck the rest of the way. Looking forward to seeing the Lynx throughout the postseason as you guys make another run to gain back what you feel is rightfully yours, that championship.
I appreciate it. Thank you.